Well, good evening.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, listeners. Here it is again, Wednesday night, where we will be experiencing Wednesday night inspirational Bible study hosted by myself, Diane Adams. And it is a pleasure and a joy to come before you again with God allowing us to come together to fellowship. It is a pleasure and it is divine. And I first would like to just thank everybody for taking time from their schedule and calling through. And I pray that God will meet your needs and you can receive what you want to hear from the Lord. I'm ever so grateful and ever so humble to come before you to give a word for your people. Have your way in this place on tonight. As always, I just want you to know that the word is going to go forth. You're going to have a song, and the name of the song is The Blessing of Abraham, because I want you all to realize that we are blessed, and everything that God promised Abraham is for us, but we have to realize that as we walk through this life. So at this time, I'm going to play the record, well, the music, and once the music is completed, I'll come back with prayer, and I'll also come back to begin the lesson. But I want those who have their Bibles to know that the scripture is going to come out of the book of Philippians. It's going to be the first chapter and the sixth verse. So those who have to get your Bibles, now is a good time because the music is going to go forth, and I'll come back and be with you. But the name of the record that's going to come on now is The Blessings of Abraham, because we all are the seeds of Abraham. And everything that God promised Abraham is for us to have. And here we go with the music tonight. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage my choir in their farewell concert and recording, the Tri-City Singers. Put your hands together. Come on, choir. Let's encourage them out there. Let's tell them that the blessing of Abraham is on their life. Oh, my brothers and sisters, because you are in Christ, you are Abraham's heir, and you have an inheritance on your life. You're the heir to the promise God made to Abraham. Go get your inheritance. Anybody gonna go get it out there? Here we go, y'all.
Well,
a practice. Yeah, write a book, score a film. Ah, somebody's gonna walk out of here and go right into their inheritance. Come on, tell them what it is. Say it's children.
It's yours. It's yours.
Ah.
It's your inheritance.
Wave your hand because he knows you're gonna go get it.
It's yours.
It's yours.
It's yours.
It's yours.
It's your inheritance.
Come on, y'all, talk to him. Tell him, say.
And that was the blessing of Abraham. You know, in that record, they kept talking about your inheritance. Do you realize that you have an inheritance that God orchestrated and have it there for you? You know, we know a lot of things about the debt of Christ, but one thing we need to know is when Christ died, the will of God for all of us was just there. But when Jesus died, the will was bust open, and everything that's for you was in the will. And God is not an Indian giver, so if he gave it to you, it's there, but you got to figure out how to get it. You have an inheritance just like the record said, because we are the seed of Abraham. And I want to get ready with the lesson tonight. But first, I have to thank God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Trinity, which makes one. I want to thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your schedule and coming and meeting here to explore the Word of God on Wednesday night, Inspirational Bible Study, again, hosted by myself, Diane Adams. And I want to just thank you for your faithfulness. And I want you to know that God honors that, because you show up time after time. You committed. You committed. And I thank you, and I thank God for touching each and every one of you who decide to call back. Our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Philippians. We're going to be in Philippians, the first chapter and the sixth verse. And our theme, title for tonight is, please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. I'm going to say it again. Please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. Philippians 1 and 6. Well, as always, we want to do some background, and I'm going to give you some information on Paul, not the same way I always give it to you about Paul, you know, in that aspect. I'm going to give you a little gist of how he got started and why he got started and what happened when he got started. So I'm going to go into that soon as I do the prayer, and I'm going to start. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you for another opportunity. Thank you, dear God, for us coming together to explore the word together, dear God, to fellowship one with another one in the word. There's nothing more beautiful than that. And I say thank you. I thank you, dear God, for allowing us to be here one more time. I thank you for each and every person that called. And, Lord, I'm going to trust and depend on your word that you're going to do all of the blessings that they're in need of. Heavenly Father, some is looking for you for this and some is in need of that, dear God, but you know. Because you know everything, dear God. Lord, I'm asking that you bless every person that called, every person who wanted to call, everybody on the internet and everybody on the airwaves and everybody that's listening in any kind of way that they do. Heavenly Father, I pray that the word that's going to go forth on the night don't return void. And it's not fall. Let it not fall on stony grounds and the birds just come and pick it up. But let it just grow, dear God. And let it just nourish, be nourished by you, dear God, that each of us could be edified. And hopefully Satan will get horrified, dear God. And in the process, you will be glorified. Heavenly Father, all these blessings and others, I ask in your darling son Jesus' name for all our sakes. Amen and thank God. Well, I want you to know tonight that the book of Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul. There is much we can learn from the life of Paul. But I want you to know that his life was far from ordinary. Paul was given the opportunity to do extraordinary things for the kingdom of God. The story of Paul is a story of redemption by Christ and is a testimony that no one is beyond the saving grace of God. However, to really gain the full measure of this man, we must examine his dark side. And what he symbolized and did before coming and becoming the apostle of grace. You know, Paul is called apostle of grace. You know, Paul's early life was marked by religious zeal, brutal violence, and relentless persecution of the early church. You see, Paul went around and, you know, he thought that if Christians believe in Christ, they was blaspheming against God, and that's what they was taught, and that's what was in place. So Paul was the one to go get them. Some of them they killed, some of them they imprisoned. They did what they wanted to do to them because they figured they was right. You see, fortunately, the later years of Paul's life shows a difference as he lived his life for Christ and the advance of Christ's kingdom. You know, if you want to see the pivotal passages of Paul and where he was and how he got started, I'm inviting you to go to Acts, the 9th chapter, and read verse 1 through 22. Acts 9, 1 through 22. You see, in Acts 9, 1, 22, it's going to give you a recount of Paul meeting with Jesus on the road to Damascus. You know, that was a journey about 150 miles long, and to understand what was happening, Paul wanted to get the Christians so bad till some of the Christians decided to move out of the jurisdiction of where they were in Jerusalem. You know how when they had the draft and people like Muhammad Ali and other people didn't want to suffer persecution or prosecution for not answering the draft, and they went to Canada? Well, this is what the Christian had begun to do. They left out of the territory where Paul had jurisdiction. But Paul wanted to go and get him, and he was on the road to Damascus, so that was 150 miles away from where his jurisdiction ended. You see, Saul was angered by what seemed and was, he was angry about the Christians, and he was filled with murderous rage against the Christians before departing on his journey. He was out to get them. And remember right now, I said his name was Saul. I don't want to get you confused, but I'm talking about Saul now. You see, Saul was angry with the Christians, and he wanted to get them. So he went to the king and asked the king to give me some letters to go to the synagogues in Damascus and present them that I have legal right to come and snatch these Christians and bring them back to Jerusalem so that I can imprison them. But you see, God has a master plan for all of our lives. And on the road to Damascus, Saul was caught up in a bright light from heaven, which caused him to fall on his face on the ground. And he heard the words, "Saul, Saul, why art thou persecuting me?" And then he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And Jesus answered directly and clearly. He said, "I am Jesus, whom you are prosecuting." You see, from that moment on, Saul's life turned upside down. And as a result of his miraculous transformation, and I'm going to get you back on track now, Saul, who we knew as Paul, that's when he became Paul, when he transformed. So Saul was his name, and when Jesus met him, he changed his name to Paul. And that same Saul that was now transformed to Paul that was persecuting the Christians decided to be on the Lord's side, and he wrote 13 books in the New Testament. So with that being said, what can you learn from the life of Paul? And of course, Paul was an apostle. We learn that God can save anyone, that anyone can be humble, be a humble, powerful witness for Jesus. And anyone can completely surrender to God. And this is the most important one. And we see that Saul didn't go looking for Christ, but Christ came looking for Paul. Hallelujah. I'm going to say that again. Saul, you know, you heard his story. He was not looking for Christ. He didn't even believe in Christ. He didn't respect Christ. He didn't think that Christ could do what he said he could do. And remember, when this happened, Jesus had already died when he met Paul on the road to Damascus. But Paul didn't go looking for Christ. But Christ came looking for Paul. You see, Paul was taught by God himself. And Paul is the one that's always writing to let us know who we are in Christ Jesus. Paul is the one that write all kind of things in the scripture for the night. Paul also wrote that. And you know, Paul in his teaching is always letting us know with words of comfort and encouragement. You see, the scripture tonight was written by Paul. It was to give us hope that the God who has begun a work in us is able to perform it. And Paul gives us hope. And he lets us know. Let me tell you what God has done. And let me tell you what he's doing. And let me tell you what he's going to do for his children. The record we played tonight was the seeds of Abraham. We are the children of God. We are the children of God. And we have to start acting like it. So in the ninth lesson, Philippians 1 and 6, Paul is letting us know that we could be confident of this very thing. It's not Diane, it's Paul, but it's in the Word of God, so God inspired Paul to write it. But he said, be confident of this very thing, that he, who's talking about Jesus Christ, who has begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Christ. You could bet your bottom dollar on that. You see, and I'm going on into the lesson now. You see, the reason Paul can make this statement is that he realized that God had a plan for his children. You see, when Paul was on the road to Damascus and Jesus decided to use Paul, what could we say? You know, Paul was zealous in his job. Paul was sold out for his job. And, you know, maybe God said, if he do it like that for them, I know he's going to do it even more for me. You know, sometimes in our lives we are chosen by God and nobody could understand why us. You remember, Paul wasn't looking for Christ. But that lets us know God can use who he want, when he want, how he want, for what he want, because he's God and he is in control. You see, Paul understood that God had a plan before the foundation of the world. You see, because we got to remember, when sin entered into the world, it separated us from God. And we could no longer have a relationship with God. You know, God wanted to be with his people. He created us for fellowship and to be with him. But sin had separated us. And God had a plan to redeem his children back to himself. And he created a master plan. And that plan, to start you, to keep you, and to finish you, is the process of sanctification. Now, we're going to talk about sanctification tonight. God works in sanctification involve all three members of the Trinity. God the Father is constantly at work in his children. You know, because there's a scripture, Philippians 2 and 13, say, it is God that work in you to will his good pleasures. It didn't say, God say, you better do this or you better do that. God himself said, it is I that's working in his sanctification process to will and to do and to get my good pleasures from you. That's God part in the process of sanctification. You see, what he's doing, he's changing our desires and making us want to please him. And he empowers us to do so. You know, I don't know if you know, but one thing I know beyond a reasonable doubt is that God never asks you to do nothing without giving you a way to do it. God don't just set you up and walk off. Whatever God put out there for you to do, he done already set the provisions in place. Believe me, I'm a witness. You see, Jesus earned our sanctification on the cross. Did y'all know that? You know, we could always say Jesus died and took away the sin. Jesus did a lot of things. Because before Jesus died, there was a curtain and a veil, and the curtain wasn't divided, and the curtain kept us out of the holy places. You wasn't allowed to go in because it was holy, and you wasn't holy enough to go in. But you know, one of the things when Jesus gave up the ghost and he said it was finished, that curtain tore from the top in the Bible. And that's in the Bible. That's deep. It said it rent from the top, tore from the top to the bottom. That was saying that we have access to go to God for ourselves. Hallelujah. You see, and now we learn in that Jesus earned our sanctification on the cross. You see, in essence, he became our sanctification and the perfecter of our faith. Come on now. Jesus, he did this on the cross. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection have so many meanings, and it done so many things for us. That's why we should love him and want to do his will. But he became the perfecter of our faith. That's Jesus' part in the sanctification. And now we look at the Holy Spirit, which is the primary agent of our sanctification. And he is the one who produced in us the fruit of sanctification. Come on now, when Jesus died and then when he left the earth and he left the Holy Ghost, and you accept Christ and the Holy Ghost come and live with you, the Holy Ghost bring the fruit of the Spirit along with him, that he's constantly trying to get you to say, okay, be patient. You know, one of the fruits is say, I'm going to teach you not to just be happy, but I'm going to give you some joy. You know, that's what the Holy Ghost is telling us, you know, but we got to cooperate, and, you know, we just don't listen, and we move too fast sometimes to really hear. But the Holy Ghost is doing his job, and the Holy Ghost ain't going to never fail. Because you remember, that's God's Spirit. You see, so in our sanctification process, we see what God does, what Jesus did, and what the Holy Ghost is doing. You see, it is God's will that we all should be sanctified. And guess what? God will have his way. You see, the sanctification of a believer, it happens in three realms. And there's a positional, a progressive, and an ultimate. And those three realms and those three phases represent our past, our present, and our future aspects of salvation. Now, that's mighty fine. So that's letting you know God didn't just put us here and tell us to be saved and told us to do everything we need to do to get eternal life. And while we got saved in the beginning, and we know when we die, we're going to, you know, have eternal life. I'm talking about this middle right now. I'm talking about this in this world, you know, in this wicked world we living in. You know, God had a plan for how we could make it through that too. But the best news for today is to realize that God have a plan. You see, now we're going to go in the first phase. The first phase is called positional sanctification. And that's our past. You see, the first stage occurs at the beginning of our Christian lives. It is an initial moral change, a break from the power and the love of sin. It is the point at which believers can count themselves dead to sin but alive to God. You see, once sanctification begins, we are no longer under sin domain. That's when you accept Christ as your Lord, your Savior and Master, and believe and confess. You know, I mean, immediately you're in that realm. You put yourself in position. And we're going to talk about position for what as we go. But positional sanctification, you got there when you accepted Christ. You see, and what happens immediately, you know, God is going to work with you. God worked with you immediately. You just decided not to work with him so quick. You got that? You see, immediately there was a change in your desire appetite. And we develop a love for righteousness. Or should have developed a love for righteousness. At salvation, believers are justified, declared righteous, and begin to conform to the image of Christ. Everywhere in the Bible, God say, you living on earth and you do this, and I give you this word, and you're growing a word, and you're growing grace, you increase your faith, and you have Christian maturity. What I'm trying to do is get you to get to the closest image of my son. You see, at this time, once we did this positional sanctification, and we accepted Jesus as our Lord, Savior, Master, and believe and confess with our mouth, God said, I can no longer see your sin. You see, because every time I look at you now, I can only see my son. Thank God for forgiveness. Hallelujah. You see, God is trying to get us to be the image of his son. And I'm going to give you a scripture that says that. If you could look at, write it down later on, it's Romans 8 and 29. They say, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. That's you, that's me, everybody, the saved people, the ones who accept him. That's deep. That he might be the firstborn among the brothers. I want to let you know that this part of sanctification, a positional sanctification, which in our lives now is a part of the past because we did it, this was entirely the work of God. Remember, you wasn't good enough to save yourself. You will never be. God sent his son. He gave you a gift. He gives you mercy. He gives you grace, and so on and so on. That's the entire works of God. Excuse y'all. So how could somebody figure they so tired or they work so much? You see, once we receive Christ in our lives, we become Christian and the Holy Ghost came to live in our hearts. We received the right to have a relationship with God one-on-one. And the Holy Ghost sealed us with the guarantee of salvation. You know, some people say once saved, always saved, and some people say that you can't be once saved and always saved, and once you get saved, if you don't do your works and you know, your deeds, you know, we're going to do some things that's not pleasing to God. Yeah, you're going to do some things that's not pleasing to God. That's why God gave us a process, a beginning, a middle, and an end. And we got to work all of the process, and the end is guaranteed. But you got to know that, you see. So what we said right here, the Holy Ghost, once we accepted Christ, the Holy Ghost sealed and guaranteed our salvation. Now, if you didn't accept Jesus Christ with your whole heart and you wasn't serious, you joined church because your boyfriend joined church, and maybe you didn't have a heart, a change of heart, or your grandma told you to go to church because she's going to do something for you. I don't know. But if you sincerely accepted Christ and you sincerely saved, the Holy Ghost sincerely sealed you, and he guaranteed and put a deposit on your salvation. Come on now. Oh, I just love the word of God. Yes, that's what he did. And the Holy Ghost is in you, trying to develop you and have you to grow maturely and have you to stop making a mistake, same mistakes over, you know. And, you know, once we accept the scripture, they got a scripture in Romans 8 and 17 say, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. So what they saying, I told you earlier, when we accepted Christ, we became heirs, we became joint heirs, we became his children. He adopted us in. And you know, even now, today, anybody that's adopted have full rights. Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. We in. You see, once we accepted Christ, we was adopted and we received all of the privilege of the child. All that God was now, all that God has and had at that time was now for us, just for the asking. He became ours and we became his, and immediately we was in position to receive all that God promised. I'm going to give you a little verse on the things that he says. Problem, just go through them. You see, because in Philippians 1 and 14, he said, but God shall supply all of your needs according to your riches and glory. You got that because you his child, you his heir, you his joint heir. When you accepted Christ, you got that. And then, you know, you look at Romans 8 and 28, and it says, and we know all things work together for the good for those that love the Lord. If you could say you love the Lord, you've got to know it's going to work together for your good. And you got to remember God working things out together for your good. It might not always come out like you want or how you expect. But you got to trust God and say, well, it's okay, whatever God do. Whatever God do, you got to say it's okay, because he ain't out to hurt you. He ain't out to harm you. He said, I know the plans that I have for you to prosper you and not to hurt you and not to harm you. Do you believe it? You can't lose with the stuff God used. So just set back and get him, realize you got your position and get ready to march on to the next phase, and you'll know where we at. And then, you know, one of the promises, even say, yeah, you're going to have trials and tribulation, and people might not like you, and people do you wrong. He said, but I'll make your enemies your footstool. You see, that's some of the promises that we was guaranteeing. Believe me, there are so many more promises, but you won't know what God has promised you if you don't read the word of God. And God is telling you all that he's going to do for you. I think sometimes we can't embrace and love God the way we know, because we don't understand all that he do, because you got to go to the word. We have to stop taking a little word from this one and a little word from that one and using that for all of our lives. I know, you know, they have some people, you know, you might be 70 or 80 years old and you never visit the word of God. And you quote and you say, but you say a little bit of this and you say a little bit of that. And you can only say what somebody said to you. Won't you get some word from you in the word of God? Let God speak to you as you go through his word. God said, if you never touch a Bible a day in your life, he said, I ain't going to make me not be God. And God said, when you read the word of God in the Bible, you ain't helping me. Remember, I wrote the Bible. So God is doing all of that for us, and he put the Bible there for what I'm talking about, for the process of sanctification. Now, we have visited the positional part. That's when you got in position, because what? that you accepted Christ, and then God did everything else, and everything was for yours, just for the action, asking. And that was the positional. When you accept Christ, you got in position to receive what? Receive it all. The second phase is progressive sanctification, and this is where God is trying to get us to spiritual maturity. This is the part I love, because this is the part where we at. You got to remember, this is where you at right now. We're in the second phase of sanctification. And I want to tell you, if you're listening to me tonight and you are saved, you are in this progressive phase of sanctification, because that's right now. Remember I told you it's the past when we accepted Christ. The present is right now. Progressive sanctification is right now. So this is our present. You see, the second phase of sanctification requires a lifetime to complete. We ain't going to come out of this phase until we meet our Maker. You see, as we grow in grace, we are gradually but steadily changing to be more and more like Christ. Can any of you say, you know, and this was, I started to do a lesson on this, because, you know, people always say, the things I used to do, I don't do no more. I say, well, I have to say some of the things I used to do, I don't do no more, because, you know, I still got stuff in my life that I'm working on. But, you know, when they say change to be more like Jesus, that is God's goal. And we all can say, or we all should be able to say, you know, I'm growing. You know, I used to be like that, but I understand now the word of God changed me, and God is doing what he want to do in me to get what he want from me and through me, and I'm better now. And you got to be able to say that. If you can't say that, I'm asking you to check yourself out. You see, this occurs in a process of daily spiritual renewing. You know, it happens with praying and studying of the word of God. In essence, progressive sanctification gives us the opportunity to experience. This is so deep. This is what God is doing. The essence of progressive sanctification is to give us the opportunity, experience, and achieve who we are already in our position in Christ. You know, God, that is so awesome. I got to read that again. In essence, the progressive sanctification phase where we are right now, and God say is to give us the opportunity to experience and achieve who we already are in our position in Christ. That's deep. You see, because Romans, the 12th chapter and the second verse say that be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the newing of your mind, that you could show what is the good and acceptable will of God. We should be transforming daily. And I can tell you this, if you're not transforming, you're conforming. They said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Because you could be either do one, be doing one, or you could be doing the other one. And you have to answer that question. You're either conforming, are you transforming? You have to answer that for yourself. You see, this is what we should be doing in this phase of sanctification, transforming. This process of sanctification or spiritual maturity is marked by conflicts of spiritual warfare because of our new life in Christ. See, once you got your new life in Christ and you accepted Jesus as your Savior, if you did it good or if you did it bad or you're doing it part of the way, you got to remember, we are on a collision course with this world, and it is opposed by Satan. And you best believe you could be lax on your job. You cannot report to work tomorrow if you don't want, but Satan going to show up, and he's going to look for an opportunity to show off in your life and get you to conform to something today to stop your transforming. You know, I got to let you know, in this phase, this progressive phase, this is where we experience trials and tribulation, heartache, strife, bitterness, loneliness, and all types of failures in our lives because we in the present and we in the world and we are in the flesh. And the world don't love nobody and flesh is constantly fighting to get what it wants. So you got to realize it's a battle. Some you win, some you lose, but you cannot take your eye off the prize. You get knocked down, get up. You get hurt, dust your back. They told a lie on you. If you ain't never told a lie on somebody else, then talk to Jesus. You got the weapons. You got prayer. You got faith. You got the sword of salvation. That means you already got the victory. Put on your armor, God, and go out there and fight these lies of the devil. So we're going to have all that in this process, this phase of sanctification. But I want to let you know. And some of these things that we experience now, we was experiencing before we met Christ, and some of us still have some of them in our lives. But it is also where we experience love, joy, peace. We now walk in faith and by faith and not by sight. You know, we got the victory when we could stand up and say, it don't matter what happens in my life, but what do count for me is who I'm going through it with. And then it got to be determined by how you take it. Stuff is going to always happen. Everything will never go your way. The good don't suffer for the bad, but they suffer along with the bad. But even with these things happening in our lives, we have to realize that the conflicts in our lives is what gives us strength for the battle of warfare between the flesh and the spirit. And you see, the Holy Ghost, I told you, each one of them play an equal part. The Holy Ghost is living in us and constantly getting us to do the right thing. You know, it sometimes gets to me when people say, something told me don't do that. Ain't no something, it's the Holy Ghost. Give him his proper. You see, but because of the conflict, that's your proof. Come on now. That's your proof of sanctification. And it is the evidence of his work, working in us, helping us to realize, and as a scripture I say that we should realize, so the proof of the Holy Ghost working in our lives, and it's the evidence of the work when the warfare go on, and we, you know, it's helping us to realize what Isaiah said. Isaiah 54 and 17 chapter said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Stuff going to come your way. It might knock you down. You just got to get up. And you might say, well, you saying that's so easy. First of all, if it knocks you down and you don't get up and you don't die, what's going to happen? You're just going to stay on the ground? At some point, you're going to have to get up. And I'm going to tell y'all this. The word of God said there is nothing that has ever happened to man. Let me get it right. The word said nothing that will happen to you has not already happened to someone else. So you can get off your pity party. You know, just be strong because not what you could do, but what God promised that he would do. We're in a progressional stage of sanctification I'm talking about now. And, you know, Isaiah said that. No weapon formed against you. God is letting you know, I got this. I got you. And you see, we just don't realize, but that record that came on earlier, it says it's your inheritance. We have to realize that this is our inheritance. All that God has for his people. God said, I don't need it. You see, this is the inheritance of the servants of God and the righteousness of me, saith the Lord. God said, I got the inheritance for you. And because, you know, I love you. He said, I got it for you. Come get it. You see, positional is where we at now. In complete sanctification, which is the next phase, it is all done by God. No, positional is where we started from, and complete is where we're going to finish. Wow, I never thought about it like that. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Positional is where we got it started. That was our past. Complete is going to be our future, and that's the next phase that we're going to talk about. But progressive sanctification is what we live in right now because it's our presence. But positional and complete was all done by God. How you like that? But I want you to know where we at right now. Some of it depends on you because God gave us a choice. You see, once we accept Christ in a positional, immediately we receive salvation. And it was a gift. It was nothing else you had to do. It was all God. Once you then did that, and when you get in a complete, God going to take you to live with him. You can't do that. But you see right here in the positional part, I'm going to say that again. Positional and complete sanctification is all done by God. But progressive involves a choice. You know, we didn't free moral agents making decisions and choices and choosing. But that's where we at now. We get to make a choice. And that's why it's the battle. You see, you got to remember that God uses all things to accomplish his purpose in making us like Jesus. Therefore, we should cooperate with the Holy Spirit. God has promised in his word that he has given us everything we will need to live a holy life. Come on now. And because he did that, he said, and we should be confident of this very thing. God is saying, you know, the work I started with you in that positional stage, and right now you're in the progressive stage, he said, I got you. And you can be confident of this thing that I can perform what I got. I can handle everything that I got started till Jesus come. You just wait on it. And the third and final stage is complete sanctification, which is called glorification. You see, this stage, this third and final stage of sanctification will occur in the future. This phase happens at death or at the rapture and is completed when the believer's spirit unites with its resurrected body. You see, Jesus Christ resurrected. We all going to resurrect in the end. And you see, Jesus' resurrected body was a glorified body. That's how we going to be. The flesh going to be gone. God is going to resurrect us with a resurrected body. And that's when we're going to be complete. You see, the stage, the final stage in the sanctification process is the ultimate sanctification and the future glorification of the believer. You're going to have that glorified body, baby. Come on now. God going to give us a glorified body once he resurrects us. Just as Jesus was resurrected, we have to resurrect to get the glorified body too. You see, it's important that at our resurrection, it's important for us to know that at our resurrection, we will be transformed. See, that's going to be complete transformation. See, right now, we should be transforming, and we do it good. We do it a lot. We sometimes hit, we miss. But you see, when that happens, you're going to be completely transformed. You're going to be completely sanctified. You're going to be complete. You're going to have complete sanctification. And that's what the scripture is talking about. He said, you see that work that has begun in you when you accepted Christ and now you went through all of this progressive stage? He said, I'm able to take care of it all the way till Jesus come back. This right here is what he's talking about. The indwelling of the Holy Ghost in a believer life is both the promise and the agency of future glorification. Y'all better give some respect to the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is an important part of the Trinity, and he's doing his job. And his job is why we're here. Christ allowed him to live with us to help us with the process. So as I close tonight, to summarize everything we talked about, to summarize sanctification, it means to do the best you can to be holy and separate yourself from the world and things that's not right. You see, first, they had a once and for all positional separation unto Christ. Once and for all, when we accepted Christ, it was once and for all, and Jesus did it all. That was the first. And second, we began to live the life to become as holy as we can in our progressive state. We have to realize the promises of God. We have to understand what God is doing in our lives. We have to understand what we need to do, because remember, this is the only process where we at right now that it has a right to choose, that we have a right to choose the things of God or choose the things of man or choose the things of you. We have a right to choose, and our choices is always not that good. But I want to tell each and every one of you, talking about Paul, Paul got a scripture in Romans 8. I think it's Romans 8 and 1. And you know what Paul said? There's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ and those who love the Lord. We got to stop condemning ourselves. And as the lesson say, one thing Paul wants you to understand, please be patient with yourself and be patient with others, because God is not through with us yet. I'm asking that we do that. And you see, even though Paul did all of that, Paul got some scriptures that he said, you know, even though I love the Lord like I do and I ain't turning back, I'm sold out, I know I got it going on, he said, but you know, I have struggles too. Because you see in Philippians 3 and 14, he wrote, he said, I have to press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of Jesus, of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I'm pressing. You know, it's a struggle for me. With all of his knowledge and all of his faith and all of his goodness and all of the wonderful things that he do, he's pressing. So you know we going to press. And you see, he wrote another one in the book of Romans, the seventh chapter, Romans 7, 21 and 22. He said, for if I do that, I would not. He said, it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwell in me. Paul said, every time I try to do good, evil is always present. So you think Satan going to sit down and let you have your way? Paul was sold out and Satan kept trying him. So you know about us. But it's not what come our way. It's not so much what come our way. It's how we take it. And we just have to keep that in mind. God only wants the best for us. And I told you that to summarize it, I say what the first and the second is. And the third is when we will be changed into his perfect likeness, holy, sanctified, and completely separated from the presence of evil. We're going to have a glorified body. We won't have no flesh, so there will be no sin. So we will be holy and acceptable and glorified. That's what's going to happen in the end. And people who think they already done reached that, they're kind of probably mistaken, because this world acts for things for this world, and flesh acts for things for flesh. Satan is trying to get what he wants from you, and God has designed what we need to do. So it's a battle, it's a struggle, but we have to keep holding on. And what we have to do, finally, you know, after hearing this message of truth, we should just trust God, and we should be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. And you got to say, no matter what happened, we got to be able to see God, because the victory is already ours. And that's the lesson for tonight. And as always, if someone have a question, I might have said something. I might have said one of the scriptures too fast, and you I might have said the scripture too fast, and you might want to, hear it again. You could give me a call, and I'll give it to you. Or you may want to pray. You might want to do words of encouragement. You might want to do anything. All right, I got a caller with a line open. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The caller number is 504-913. Caller, you may speak at this time. Your mic is open. That's the beginning of your number. Your mic is on and you can talk at this time.
Well, I was just trying to tune in. I got caught up doing something and I missed the beginning.
Okay, now for those who missed the beginning, and some days you can't come on at 8:30 at night, these lessons, these Bible studies are on the internet. You could go at any time in the comfort of your own home. If you go to my Blog Talk radio station, and you could pick up the sermon from last month. So if you would like to listen to it, the internet is www.blogtalkradio-wordsofwisdom. I'll say that again, blogtalkradio.com/wordsofwisdom. And the lessons is always on there. But I thank you for calling in tonight, caller. Do you have any questions, concern, or would you like to do prayer? Would you like to lead us out with prayer?
No.
But I thank you for calling. And I have a prayer line number. If someone want to get in touch with me, please dial 504-289-9501. You could ask me about the lesson. You could ask me some scriptures. You could ask for prayer. You could ask for whatever you need. Because remember, whatever you need, God got it. And I thank you, caller, for calling in. Is there anyone else who would like to call in or say anything? Well, at this time, I'm going to go ahead and do the prayer with the benediction in it. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you. I want to thank you, dear God, because in your ultimate wisdom, as we learn from the lesson tonight, you have a plan for us, dear God. You have a master plan that you thought of soon we got in trouble in the Garden of Eden. You made a way for us to be redeemed back to you. And these scriptures tonight is showing us, dear God, that I pray that the Holy Ghost illuminated and revelated for everybody. You know, I can only give information. And I don't know everything. But, you know, you could get this lesson and you could meditate on it and you could have a talk with Jesus. Teach them, God. And, you know, you could ask God to reveal what he's saying in his word for you. But, Lord, I pray that the word don't return void and that each person that was under the sound of my voice, dear God, received something that they could use in life, something that can make them know who you are. Lord, until we begin to love you with our whole heart, we will never be able to do the things that we need to do. It's because of love. And the more information, dear God, we learn of you, that's the more we can do. Heavenly Father, teach us, guide us, and protect us. Thank you, Jesus, for your part in the sanctification process that you put on, you did on the cross. And thank you, Holy Ghost, as you live with us and lead and guide us and bring us to the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. Thank you for the Trinity. Heavenly Father, please bless every person represented here tonight, dear God, and protect their homes and bless their children and bless their grandchildren, dear God, and bless their jobs and bless their finances and bless their health, dear God, and bless their homes. Heavenly Father, I ask all these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank God. And right now it's the 9:30 hour. We have been together for 1 hour. And I just want to know if anybody would like to make any comments, any concerns, words of encouragement, or anything that you want to say. If you press your one button, you may speak at this time. I saw, okay, here we go. We got a caller at 504-244. Right now, caller, your line is open.
Hello? We just wanted
Hello,
to
Hello, caller?
Yeah, can you hear us?
Yes, we can.
I love you, Mama!
Mama. Oh, that's so cool. Thank you, baby.
Welcome.
Would y'all like to say anything? Would y'all like to say anything?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Thank God for this day that you are able to speak on the radio and talk about God.
Thank you so much, Madison. I love y'all.
Love you too.
That's such a blessing. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank
you
so much. You want to say something, Miss Lewis?
You know I love you.
Yeah, I love you too.
All right.
Thank you for calling. That lifts my spirit.
All right. Thank you for
Thank
your
you.
Work.
Thank you. I have another caller at 281-809. Your mic is up. Open.
Good night, Diane. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Tamika.
Good. I wanted to tell everybody good night and thank you for the word tonight. And I say that because some days it's better than others. But I feel reassured that everything that takes place, like you said, God has already, I guess you can say, your life is already written and your destiny is already determined. So everything that we're going through, we're supposed to go through it, and there is a resolution for it. And like you say, he's not going to put us in anything and leave us. So that gives me reassurance and it gives me hope. And also, knowing that I have something that I have to complete, and like you say, you read the word and you get closer to what he has for you and get in his liking, you will come to where you're supposed to be. And I just want to say thank you, and I love you all.
Thank you, Tamika, and I love you too. And it's just so true. You know, we have a lot of discussion and a lot of classes, everything ordained. You know, there are things that's ordained and there are things that we sometimes get ourselves, you know, it's a rule of thumb that it is said that we usually are our own worst enemies. So we have to get ourselves out the way for God to do what he want to do. I was looking at that story about that little girl who did the gymnastics. She was a little bitty girl. She didn't know what she had. She didn't, you know, understand what she had. When the first time she went to a lesson, they say, what you want? She said, I just want to flip. But God had put that greatness in her. And you see, even the time when she wanted to quit, you know, her mother and her family spoke in her life why she should go on. We're going to have successes and we're going to have failures, but we just got to keep going on because God promised that he will see us through. And you got to remember, God is letting us be on this earth. Remember, a day is 1,000 years with God, and 1,000 years is a day. So if you live to be 200, to God, that's short time. And he said, this life is only a vapor. But we're going to have eternity with him. No matter how many times you get knocked down right here, no matter how many times somebody do you wrong, when we die, we're going to be with the King for eternity. And that's our hope for our salvation. But till we get there, we have to go through this. And he said, I'm never leave you nor forsake you, and you're not alone. So you have to tell yourself, this is a rough time in my life, but he said he'll never leave me nor forsake me, and he's not leaving me alone. You know, we have to use the word of God to get ourselves out of situations and out of depression and out of all kind of things that could be in our life. The word of God is the newness, and it's there to produce what we need, there for God to produce in us the will and to do his good pleasure. So it's 9:30. We've already prayed. I have music for those who love to listen to music. This is going to be the last call for anybody who want to talk. And I just want y'all to know there's a lot of callers on the line tonight, and I thank God for you guys. Our numbers of Wednesday Night Inspiration is growing more and more each day. You know, I don't know everybody who call. I don't know who's listening, maybe on Facebook. I'd like to have all this stuff. I don't even understand all of it. But there's a lot of ways that they can listen to it. But the numbers is growing, and each one of you is playing a part. Some of you have been with me from the first time and it's continued to be with me. So you are part of this, and you are making this possible for other folks. So God is satisfied, and Satan is horrified. So with saying that, I'm going to go ahead and put another record because it appears that no one else would like to say anything. I'm going to put another song on, and I'll come back after the song is over. And I just want to say I love each and every one of you, and it ain't nothing you could do about it. I love y'all from the bottom of my heart. And this record is Fred Hammond. This was a part of the lesson tonight because it say no weapon formed against you gonna prosper.
Thank you.
You should know that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, because you see you are Jesus. You got in position when you accepted Christ. You progressively going through nine. You wait for the victory of the completion. And I want to give a little testimony, I guess it is, and it's short. You know, I'm in Macomb, Louisiana, and Macomb, Mississippi. And I'm in Macomb, and the place where I'm staying, it doesn't have internet. And I've been coming to this place for over a year, and I knew it didn't have internet. And I would go down to the McDonald's to get hooked up with the internet. So Sunday afternoon, I was talking to God, and, you know, I told him, I said, God, I said, we got to get up. We got to get this paper together for Wednesday. We got to get it started. I said, but I need the internet because I need the research. I say, so I don't feel like it, but I'm going to get up now and go to McDonald's and so I could get on the internet. And I took the computer and I plugged it up because I wanted it to be charged when I went to McDonald's so I wouldn't have to bring the card as well. So I got the plug and I charged the computer up to charge the computer up, and the internet jumped on the screen. I said, hallelujah. I went into a praise unbelievable. I said, God, ain't you showing off up in here today? And then, you know, I had the internet. And then, you see, let me tell you what happened. And, you know, Satan came in. And Satan said, you got the internet now. You know, you're not going to have it long because it's probably just coming from somebody got it, and you're going to get a little usage of it, you know, and if they cut their computer off. Satan told me all of that. And I began to speak it. Well, I might not have it for long, but I'm going to see. And I kept coming to the computer scene and say, I say, let me stop it. Stop it right here. You know, why doubt? You know, and the Spirit say, you know, internet is in the airwaves. And he told me, he said, who owns the air? God could do what he want, when he want, how he want, for who he want. And I've been here since Saturday, and the internet is still strong, and I didn't have to run back to New Orleans to do the program on tonight. Because I had internet right here in Macomb. You see, God don't give you nothing to do that he don't give the provision. And I'm thankful. And I'm on the internet right now with you guys. I'm in the studio with you guys. And I just want to say thank God. And that's what God does. God don't set you up to fail. And if God got something for you to do, he's going to be right there with you. And they say, whatever God give you to do, he makes a provision. I'm a witness to that. And I just wanted to share that with you guys. And what I'm going to do, because they still have people on the line, I got one more record. And you guys could listen to it. And that's going to be it for the night. But I thank you guys. I love you guys. And it's just a blessing. Y'all just don't know.
me for a while. Does anybody know that tonight? Oh, mine as I am here. And it doesn't matter what I did. He's only seen me for who I am. Yes, sir. He is mine. It doesn't matter what I did. He only sees me for who I am.
And as God see the best in us, you know, in the lesson tonight, we say that when Jesus, once you accept Christ and God look at you, he can only see his son. God sees the best in you. He knows your potential. We have to learn to get ourselves out the way. We have to submit and obey, submit and obey, and then submit again and obey again. We will have trials. We will have tribulations. We're not perfect, and we won't be perfect as this sanctification process explained on the night until Jesus come and give us the glorified body. But it is our duty and our responsibility to be committed to the things of God that we can grow spiritually. See, God wants us to grow and become mature Christians. In the beginning, he said, give them milk because they can't understand and take the word as meat. But we got to get from the milk to the meat at some time in our lives. And I'm just asking everybody, please get yourself out of the way. And it's a daily process, and it's going to happen daily until we die. And that's our lesson for tonight. If anybody have a topic that they would like me to speak on next week, for the people who have pressed the one button, I'm going to ask you to press the one button at this time. So your lights could go out, and then if you press it back again, I know you want to ask for a particular topic. But if anyone would like any specific topic for us to explore, because remember, this is our Bible study. This is not about me. It's about us, and it's about God. So if anybody have a specific topic that they would like to be addressed on next week, you can press the one on your phone. And if not, that's our Bible study, Inspirational Wednesday, hosted by Diane Adams for today. And if it's God's will, we'll be back on Wednesday. God bless and keep every one of you until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. See you next week.